You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 23 for a moment. We are in a study or a seeking to gain the advantage in the book of Jeremiah, and we reach chapter 40. And we got a little way to go. That is awesome, helpful information in all kinds of ways. But since we took a moment during the holiday on Psalm 23, and Psalm 23 is giving us a pathway, a road, walking down the pathway in time. And we're moving down that pathway. And in the process, we need to be refreshed and reminded of the journey and the progress, because Jeremiah is going to be helpful in many ways. But sometime we need to remember, as we're learning many things and helpful things, to put pieces together. We need to be in a path that's steady and set so that we make good. In other words, every time we go to class, we want to be in a good mood and attitude to learn the most. The recipe gives us the attitude as we're learning. It keeps us in the place so that everything and anything, as we're learning the pieces, we can get them in a healthy, holy way. Now, so having said that, and since we did verse 4 a little bit, and we shared together that David, as being older now, and he is, and in the process, David has been a sheep under God the shepherd. And he's journeyed all this way. And God loves him. And he has blessed David. And so David tells us in his journey, tells us as he did it. How did you do it, David? Well, verse 4 we shared together. David was walking in the valley of the shadow of death, darkness, and evil. That never, never, never goes away. We shared that. It never goes away. Always there, every day, till you die. That's where it is. So, and as he's not going to be afraid of evil. Why isn't he going to be afraid of the evil? Evil is everywhere. Why isn't he afraid? Because God is with him. God is with him. And therefore, since God is with him, as yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. And together with. And as we're going down the corridor of time, together with, I'm not going to be afraid, God's with me. What is God doing? What are we looking for God to do if he's with us, David? As we're going, David said, his rod, his authority, his power, his right to rule, his rod and his staff, that which supports, that which cares for, that which provides our need, his rod and his staff. Why aren't you afraid? He's with me. He's there in all of his wonderful authority and power, his rod. He's there with his staff to support, to encourage, to go and help me in every way. He's going to take care of me as I go down the corridor of time. That's what he's going to do. He's the shepherd. And that's what I know. So that's why I'm not afraid. And what is that setting do, not being afraid, and God's there in all of his wonderful rod and staff and authority? What's that going to do? It's going to comfort me. It comforts me. It's in, the verb is intensive. Comfort, it just does something wonderful. And to take a breath, to breathe again is the word, to breathe again. You've been all caught up in everything, worry and want and fear and all of those things, disappointment. We get caught up in them. And God gives us a space to take a breath and read and be refreshed, to breathe again, to comfort, to be encouraged, to be revived, as it were, or refreshed again. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we shared that together. Then we share together, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now you gotta keep adding each thing. That's once you start the recipe, you gotta keep adding to get the full picture. So therefore, not only are we comforted, but and his rod and his staff, they comfort me, but God prepares a table. It prepares the table in the presence of mine enemies. So here I am going down the corridor, and God's taking care of me and providing all my need. That's what he's doing. So therefore, and we shared together the table and the table of showbread, etc. We did all of that. Reminding yourself that the 12 loaves on the table of showbread in the tabernacle represent one from each tribe, and therefore, every time the priests go in, they are reminded in the tabernacle that God is conscious of all 2.5 million or so surrounding it. They never see inside. They never see. But they know. The priest knows. And they're to know, the people are to know by way of the priest and the Levites, that God, in the middle of them, is very conscious of each one of them. And therefore, they are to understand, even though all they can see is the cloud by day and the fire by night, what they need to understand is that God is conscious of you in your little tent out there. God's conscious of you in that over here and over there. God is conscious of you. Now, so, the priest, and taking it a step further from what I see, God is conscious of me, and the priest is understanding so that he represents me in God before in the tabernacle. And so as the priest is there, so when the priest looks at the table of showbread, he looks at the tribe of Dan, or whatever you want, which tribe ever you want to, and he looks at Judah, and you look at the tribe of Judah, and you look at the tribe. There's the bread. Now, where is the bread? It's on the table. It's on the table. It's a special table. On the table is the bread. And on the table, when you see the bread, where are you going to see yourself? You're going to see yourself on the table in the bread. You're going to see yourself, who's on the other side of the table? Whose table is it? It's God's table. God's mat for you and him to come together. So when you see the bread, you see yourself in the bread. Wow. So when you see yourself out there, lost in the middle of all those people, but God sees you in particular, all special, in the bread. In the bread, he sees you. When God looks at us, he sees us in Christ. That's how God sees us, in Christ. We look at each other, we look in the mirror, we do what we do, and we do all of those things. And they're wonderful things that we're able to do and humanly to enjoy life in some measure. But when I understand. I want to see God. I never want to, I want to learn to focus and pay attention that God, you see me in Christ. Where, how am I to see myself in Christ? In Christ, at that table. That's how you want to see me, at that table. So therefore, you're my rod, the rod and the staff. You're the shepherd. You take care of me. Whenever I look around, God, I have to see everything through you. I have to see my heartache, my headache. I have to see the world, the devil, and everything else therein. I have to see it from you, in being in you. How does God see everything? How does God see it and understand it? Thou, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's what Israel was. David, what are you saying? Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David, you had a whole lot going for you that most of Israel never dreamed of. But what about us guys, us people? Therefore, just to keep this in focus, you can hold your finger here and go over, if you can, to Revelation. And in Revelation, and in chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, and you will note, if I can, in the process, in Revelation chapter 3, here's the table. Now God, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God gives and makes a special relationship. Israel could enjoy it by way of the temple and that. When we get saved, God's demonstrating his grace in this age of grace. So, Revelation chapter 3, which you know, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If, and you may or may not hear, you may or may not open the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I'm not coming into your kitchen. I'm not coming into your car. I'm coming into you. As many as received him to right, gave me the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. I'm going to receive him into my heart. And what relationship is established? And, verse 20, and will sup, and will sup. We're going to go and sup, have supper. The word sup is the chief meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's the chief meal of the day. The first, the best meal you're going to have today, that's the word, sup. We're going to sit at and have a meal. We're going to enjoy sitting at the table. I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to provide for you the table. I am on the other side of the table. I am everything that you'll ever need. Make sure you see me in the bread. I am the bread of life. So when I see, where am I? I'm not in myself. I'm not in the system. I'm not in my attitude and my stupidity. And God, it's all my safety and security is in you, in Christ. And I am to enjoy, I am to practice what David did. I sit before you, God, in your presence, as at a table, at the best meal of the day. We're going to enjoy fellowship. We're going to enjoy togetherness. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And I'm the table. Table is God. The menu is God's. It all belongs to God. I'm finding myself adopted, placed as a full-grown son in God's grace, and so all believers in you, God. So I'm there. I'm taken from out in the street, barren, naked, Revelation 3, all of the words, miserable, blind, and you take me in, God, and I find myself in your presence. That's being saved. That's what happens when you receive the Lord as your Savior. The average believer doesn't find that out probably all the days of their life. They could, but they never don't get enough. We live barren lives. Now, having said that, back over to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, picking up if I may, if I can, Psalm 23, and doing what we're doing here, looking. So, in chapter 23 of Psalm 23, sliding down to verse 5, we did the table. If I stop there, I'm not finishing the recipe. I'm not finishing. So all I did is leave myself at a table with God. His rod and his staff accompanying me. God, is that it? No. David, was that it? No, said David. David said, finish the recipe. Finish the formula. 23. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's what you do. Now, we're going to take that. Anoint my head with oil. Well, that's good if it's dry. You put some oil on. No. What are you saying, God? What's so wonderful but anointing my head with oil? A, anointed. Anointed, to smear on, to smear over, to rub over. Oil, anointed. Exodus. Exodus in 28. And note, here's the anointing, the anointing of kings, anointing. What did anointing do when the priest would anoint, or Samuel would anoint David? What are you doing, Samuel, when you anoint David? Exodus 28, verse 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons. This is the clothing, special clothing. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron and his brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. What did the anointing do? It consecrated them. It set them apart. It marked them as holy. They were to be set apart, not for themselves or for anything, but for God. They were anointed. The oil on the head, that's what they did. Now, to lock it in, because I'm interested, Psalm 23, verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. Hang on. So I want to get that clear, my little head. Now, what am I getting on my head? Exodus 29, Exodus 29, verse 7. Thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon the head and anoint him. Thou anointest my head with oil. What were they doing? Consecrating, setting apart. How did they do it? They put it on his head. The head, the brains and all of it, put it there, the head of the body. What's the most prominent part of the body? The church's body. What's the most prominent part of the church's body, the head. Who's the head? Christ is the head. The head, not your foot. The head. He anointed my head with oil. Now, that's setting it apart, consecrating, setting him apart for God. That's that word. Now, having said that, now we got to go back to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, picking up, please, and you'll note, thou anointest my head with oil. So, having said that and keeping that in front of you, if you can, what does this word anoint mean, have to do? The anointing, it's intensive, the verb is, to busy oneself eagerly, to do something carefully, steadily, with great enthusiasm, eagerness, doing it painstakingly. Thou anointest my head with oil. God, with great involvement. He's intensely involved. He's anointing my head with oil, said David. His rod and his staff is comforting me, and he's anointing my head with oil. Only this isn't the word we just looked at. The word I just looked at in Exodus is anointing with oil on the head, etc. This isn't that word. This is a different word, different anointing. So therefore, but the first anointing, and remember now, we shared in Revelation 3:20, I'll sup with you and he with me. We have a unique relationship before God's table, as it were. But, and also, without turning there in 2 Corinthians and all of that one, the anointing, we have an anointing. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, among many, many things that God did in a most awesome way, the Spirit of God anointed you. He marked you, just like the priest marked the priests were all marked by Moses. The kings were marked by Moses. David is marked by Moses. God does a wonderful thing. He marks us. That's why the Spirit of God, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God marks. He puts his stamp. Our anointing is of God. But that's wonderful in the light of the kings, etc. But that isn't what we're looking at. We're looking at Psalm 23 and in verse 5, the anointing. And therefore this word, to fill up, to fill, to pump up, to plump, make plump, to make plump, chubby. Chubby, to make plump, chubby, fat, to fill out, to make pithy, which is soft, spongy, pithy, that which is in the bones of your body, bones, pith, spongy is a good substance. At the center of a plant, at the center of a tree, in animals, in us, your spinal column, spongy, pithy. And therefore, moreau. Therefore, in the light of that, it has to do with that which gives strength, energy, importance. It makes something look healthy. It makes something, the tree look healthy. The bush looks healthy. The plant looks healthy. The person looks, that's with David. Think of Samuel. Samuel, 10 days, remember, they tested before the Babylonians. And at the end of 10 days, the men, Meshach, Rech, and Abednego, they were chubby. They were healthy. You looked at all the people, and those people stood out. They didn't eat the same stuff that the Babylonians did, and the 10 of them stood out. They were marked, chubby, fat, healthy, spongy, pithy, marrow, in the bones. You know, if I had a bone, I looked for a bone. If I had a bone, I was going to bring out a bone, if I had one. and dry bone. And dry, that's what Ezekiel 38, 39. Dry bones. They're all dead. There's no marrow. There's no pithy. No sponginess in them. What are you going to do, God? David, what are you saying? Thou anointest my head. You make my head spongy. You make my head fat, chubby. You make me healthy. That's what you do. My head, which you see, is healthy. That's the word. Thou anointest my head with oil, set apart. For what? So that God can make me healthy. Painstakingly is the word. God anointest me in a painstaking way, making fat full, full of marrow, anointing me in every way. Wow, that's what God's doing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind and see it. So, and I want you to see the connection. Exodus 28, thou anointest my head with oil, consecrate. Psalm 23, verse 5, thou anointest my head, but not with, not that. No, you make my whole being flush, full of health. That's what you do. God does that, gives a delight, and he does it in a painstaking way. God does that. So how does that work? And when doesn't it work? Exercise that word anointed to be fat, to be chubby, etc., to be full of plush, full, fat, full, flush. Wow. Over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 31. And one of the problems Israel had, which we all have, with this, chapter 31, verse 20. Now, this is in the light of the context. If I read verse 19, it eats up time. Verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat. They're going to eat to the full, satisfied, enough, overflowing. They have no lack, no need. Waxen fat. Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. When I bless, I'm going to bless them and make them. I'm going to anoint them, set them apart. I'm going to provide for them as the shepherd. I'm going to take care of them in an overabundant way. I delight to do so. I do so with a painstaking way to make them fat, to give them everything they need and even want and don't want so that it's overflowing. I do all of that, and then they forget me. They forget me. I did something for them, but they didn't remember me. They forgot. Therefore, over to Job. Job, chapter 36. And here's Elihu trying to encourage Job. Remember, Job's got all these problems. And Elihu says to him, now, Job, if you get whatever it is you've done wrong with God, which he hadn't, or whatever reason God is doing all this to you, which we don't know, whatever he's doing, if you just get your act right, Job, you can be blessed. What are you going to say? What do you understand, Elihu? Chapter 36, down to verse 16. 36 and 16. Even so, would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place? In other words, instead of being so caught up in sickness and all the problems, he would give you a lot of elbow room and into a broad place. Where? What about the broad place? Where is no straightness? And that which should be set on thy table, on your table, should be full of fatness. It should be full of fatness. God wants you to be. I anointed my head with oil. Yeah, fatness, not with oil. That's because of the oil, I'm going to set you apart to have that fatness, that overflow, that enough, more than enough, in a most wonderful way. Spongy, soft, healthy tree, healthy bush, healthy animal, healthy heart, healthy. You look healthy. Sometime we can look very sick. We can. And I've seen, and you've seen, and we could even see ourselves. Sometime we get very sick. I'll tell you, we don't look very good. When we're very, very sick, we don't look very good. No, sir. I've been there, and I looked at them people in the hospital with them. I said, I think you should be dead, but you aren't. You look so bad. Wow. Because you're sick. There's a difference. Being healthy. Healthy. That's what God wants. Now, having said that, so here's Job. And Job didn't do anything wrong. But Elihu says, where's God? You should be sitting at God's table enjoying the fatness, the fullness, the sponginess, the pithiness. You should be there. But Job, you got to get your act right. Job's act is right. And where's God taking Job? He's taking him into the fullness of that fatness. Job, you're going through it. God's putting you through it. But when you come out, Job, are you going to be one healthy fellow? And God's going to bless him physically, family-wise, money-wise, animal-wise, in every way. God's going to bless him. Why? He prepared him to receive the fullness. Back to what we did in the beginning. We're looking, where are we finding ourselves? We're to find ourselves in Christ. That's where God sees us. Now, you don't see us out like this. He sees us in himself. So that there's my provision. What's on my table? I don't see anything on my table. It's God's table. And it's God who's taking care of everything that's going to be in that table. And God's going to make sure that everything in that table is just the right thing. Psalm 25, verse 12. And that God will teach the believing heart in the way that he shall choose. God will do. And God will raise him up to have what? An appreciation for God. David, did you have that all the time? No. I learned it in the College of Hard Knocks. There was always the table. I didn't appreciate it. There was always God, but I didn't trust him. I'm learning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. I learned it. I learned of God's fullness. God wants us to be healthy. That doesn't mean you're not sick. You could be very sick. It means your heart and your head is healthy. No depression. No discouragement. Remember all the things they give you now when you go to the doctors or wherever it is. They give you all these little questions you have to fill out, And they have, do you feel this? Did you ever do that? Do you feel lonely? And all of those things, you know. And I just take and put a line through them. They say, that's true. Absolutely. None of that belongs in my life. Not one drop of it belongs in my life. Not one drop. So, can I tell you? Anyway, healthy. You want to be healthy. Anoint my head with oil. Now, Having said that, and Job, God's going to help him, very much so. Now, over if I can, in the light of that, over to Psalm 28. Proverbs 28, summing up in a simple statement. Proverbs chapter 28. And you will note, straightway, verse 25, 28, 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made what, dear friends? Fat, there's your word, anointed, fat. That's what it'll do. It'll make you fat. Wow. Make you spongy, healthy. Wow. Now, Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30, picking up if I may. I'm going to go chapter 30. You'll recall verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And then those horrible words, the four of them at the end, and you would not. I made it wonderfully easy. I want you to return and rest in my presence, and I'm going to give you a quiet and peaceful heart, and you're going to be full of confidence. You'll be very strong. That's what I'm going to do for you. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Not going to do it. Now, sliding down. sliding all the way down to where we want to go. Chapter 30. And picking up, please, in verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, think of Job, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. In other words, you're going to know, you're sitting at the table, you know God's your shepherd, you're going to go forward, and you're going to be conscious of God in the when it's famine, And you're thirsting and affliction and all of the problems, adversity, all of those things that they had Job, like Job, but I see God. Job didn't lose God in all of his problems. There was no problem. He really lost God. He looked at himself too much and wondered why he was ever born. But he didn't look there very long, and he looked to God. God, I'm going to hang in there until this works out. Now, sliding along in verse 20. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall thy teachers, etc. Verse 21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And God's going to bless. Sliding down to verse 23. They shall give. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, the planting and everything you're going to do, make it all fat. He shall give thee the rain of thy season, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, the bread of increase of the earth, and it shall be fat, there's your little word, and plenteous, the nice tomato plant, each thing is plush. It's the what it is, everything, what it, healthy. In that day shall thy cattle feed on large pasture. So God, you're going to bless in a most wonderful way. That's right. God will bless the heart that looks to him. So when they turn to the Lord, Israel's going to wake up, and one day when it wakes up here, coming up in the future, they're going to be blessed in some wonderful, wonderful way. Isaiah 55. Isaiah in chapter 55. And you will note, sliding down into verse 2, 55:2. Wherefore do you, I'll get a read, 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. God's going to provide. He's the provider. It's his table. Verse 2, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye of that which is good, and eat, have a good meal. Now, good meal isn't going to do it, but if you keep your heart right, and the end of verse 32, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Do everything I tell you, and enjoy. I'm going to make you a blessed man, a blessed woman. I'm going to bless your heart with fatness. I'm going to make you healthy. There's nothing like a healthy believer. We see believers, oh, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm saved, you know. Yeah, I'm saved. I say, oh, yeah, I go to church. I go to church, yeah. That's what I do. I do all that. Where's healthy? To find a healthy believer. Healthy believer. God, there's nothing, God, you aren't taking care of. So God help us.